So this turning towards what experience has in common, the impermanent, unreliable, conditioned nature of experience. Unreliable because it is impermanent, unreliable pointing to it's unreliable as a place where we can land and find a kind of a lasting happiness. These truths are kind of the core understandings and wisdom that the Buddha expressed as being where freedom becomes available, that the wisdom that develops as we align ourselves with these truths. Yes, experience is impermanent, unreliable, conditioned, uncontrollable ultimately. We can't make something be permanent, can't make something stay. That aligning ourselves with these truths, recognizing that experience is impermanent, our mind begins to recognize that the attempt to make it not so, the attempt to hold on, that clinging, that is where our suffering essentially arises from. And so the mind, in really getting these truths, starts to let go of that habit of clinging. And so this is, and it doesn't matter what we are noticing. You know, sometimes we do have this sense or this feeling of waiting for a particular kind of experience, and then I can really start being, getting these insights. But every single experience is a pointer to these truths, and so, you know, at times the mind is more, the continuity of mindfulness is more in the place of interest in noticing the experience, the qualities of the experience itself, the specific qualities of the experience. And as the mindfulness gets more continuous, it can become interested in these more general qualities of experience. Again, it can take a pointing that it's useful to look at this. So that was the encouragement this morning, or the suggestion of the possibility that the mind can begin to notice these more basic qualities, impermanent. Yesterday we looked at conditioned a little bit. And another piece that is an important part of the way this practice unfolds, I'd say, is that as we start to see these truths, as we start to recognize, yes, things are impermanent, things are unreliable, not controllable, not ultimately controllable, because there is a way in which we have input into things and can shape things in a direction, but it's not like I can choose. I'm going to have this arising right now. This was a teaching from the Buddha around this teaching of not self. He pointed to our mind states are not self. Because they are not self, they are not amenable to control. We can't say, may my mind be like this, may my mind not be like this. We can't say, may I be mindful continuously right now, or may this anger vanish right now. Sometimes that movement or kind of recognition and understanding around the value of mindfulness or the direction of anger leading to suffering can support the mind to change around it. But our minds, there's not that kind of capacity to just flip a switch and say, this is what I would like my mind to be like. This is what I'd like my body to be like right now. This is how I'd like my feelings right now. And so the the uncontrollable nature of experience. Away our, you know, as we start to really take those truths in, we have different relationships with these truths, much as we have different relationships to particular experiences, liking some things, not liking other things. At a very deep level, some of our clinging comes in this area of wanting things to be reliable, wanting things to be stable. And so the noticing the relationship to the impermanence is another place where the practice unfolds. And there's, you know, there's kind of a trajectory or a kind of a way that this can happen. Sometimes we can be very delighted with impermanence. You know, sometimes in certain places in our practice, we really kind of get this flavor of receiving experience and letting go of just, you know, what's here, and in the moment of seeing something come and go, there's just this kind of like, wow, this is so easeful, and it's there's a delight that can come with that. And so sometimes delight is the relationship to seeing the impermanence. And yet what seems to happen as we see this more and more is that the underlying kind of belief or view that, you know, the delusion that I have to have something stable, I have to have something to land on in order to be happy, that view gets more challenged over time. And at certain points, the relationship to seeing this impermanence is distress. It's, isn't there some place to land? It's kind of a feeling of searching, of like, of the mind flailing, or of anxiety, or even fear in seeing this truth. This is not a mistake. It is exposing a very deep kind of clinging. And, you know, in some ways when we see this, it touches into our, you know, the delusion. I mean, we all know we're going to die. You know, we all know that. But when we really start to get it, we really see that. And this truth of impermanence in a very a visceral way, every moment we begin to see this kind of dying of experience. And at a deep level, we don't like that. It's very hard to allow the mind to be okay with that level of impermanence. And so this is, you know, this is the we could say it's one of the deeper kinds of clinging, the clinging to life, the clinging to some kind of stability, that this is a clinging that is creating stress in our lives, but again, our minds kind of don't understand until it tastes that freedom of letting go of the clinging to that reliability. They can't fathom how it could possibly be okay to not have something reliable. And so this is a lot of the work as our path unfolds. And it just happens at different levels. You know, it's like we begin to recognize, okay, this set of stuff, this is not so reliable. Okay, and we begin to release the dependence on that. And yet, almost under the surface, our mind picks up something else. It's like, well, the practice, that's what's reliable. Or this kind of ability to just be with experience, that's what's reliable. Or something, you know, our mind picks up on something else that it lands on, that it has used in order to let go of something else. And the Buddha pointed to this. I might have used this or said this earlier in the week. I don't remember. I talked about it in a few weeks ago. The Buddha said that, you know, by relying on this, we can let go of that. And so there's a, you know, kind of a staged letting go that happens. We, you know, can let go of some of our old habits and patterns and ways that we've relied on navigating the world as we begin to land into the meditation and see there are different ways to navigate the world. By relying on this, we abandon that. But we are, in some ways, what happens is we pick up an identity, an identification, a clinging, a landing there. It's like, oh, that's stable. But then we start to see, well, actually, that too is not that stable. And so there's another level of letting go. And sometimes it's a level of picking up something else. So there's this kind of almost stair step or deepening of letting go that happens. So we think we understand impermanence at some level. I remember on one retreat, you know, just that kind of recognition. It's like, I thought I had let go of so much, and I have to let go of this too? This too? Yes, everything. There's nothing that's reliable. And, you know, to our normal minds, our usual minds, that sounds depressing. It sounds unfathomable. It sounds like, how could that possibly be happiness? And yet, as we taste the letting go, we understand the happiness of that. So it's, this is not a depressing path at all. It sounds it to our normal habitual minds. It's like, nothing reliable? Dukkha? Doesn't seem so good, but the path itself is one of deeper and deeper happiness, ease, peace. And then we bump up against the next place where, oh, I thought I had control over this ability to be at ease, but no, that too. Something else. Whenever we bump up against some kind of suffering or struggle, that's a pointing in the Dharma. There's something being held to. What's that? What is the mind thinking is reliable right here? And again, the practice is noticing that, noticing the clinging, recognizing, yeah, the suffering of that, and the mind begins to understand the letting go. So many times in my practice, there's been something where I've seen the suffering of it, understood there was clinging, understood there was holding on, but have no idea. It's like, I could not do the letting go. That too is not self. That too is uncontrollable. Like, I couldn't do the letting go. But I could be with the pain of the holding. And the movement of the mind towards more ease and well-being begins to figure out that letting go. So often we don't get to have that choice. But the mindfulness creates the conditions for the mind to be able to understand the letting go.